Fiend
we lost somebody.
Fiend
hey, hey, wow. Hey, Knight. You there, Knight? Yeah. Knight? Yeah. Yeah. Trigger warning. Lou's going to give you the intro to the Freedom Fiends. You got an intro
woof.
Lou? Yeah.
Yes, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a...
Tasty and toasty.
Nope. Just black.
Crunchy.
To keep us in flood of statism. Half a second shorter
a blank.
Than I'm going
Did you
off.
Get redacted? Did your intro yes. get redacted, Lou?
I got redacted. To keep a sin flood of statism
Fiend
on your
phone.
Head.
Fiend
Can
phone.
You feel it? Is it working?
Can you feel
Michael,
it, Knight?
Nima,
is it working,
and Fahrenheit,
Knight?
Is it working?
Hey, Knight.
Can feel it.
Are you there? Are you there, Knight? Yeah. Knight's not
he
there.
He got droned.
Yeah.
They droned
he
my bro.
Too. Okay.
Oh, no.
Hang on. I'll
not for more than 6 seconds.
Do one segment, then you come on.
It is a teaching hospice. Right.
Yeah, it is a teaching hospice. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's listening to the show and he heard
I wrote him an email.
That.
I'm writing him an email. I don't speak that slowly. If I was speaking, I'd say, hey, I'll do one segment, and then come on. So first segment's going to be all me. So, Nima, how are you? Yeah.
I'm tired, man.
Yeah, you're tired.
How are you?
Yeah. Okay, well, if you end up not doing the whole show, send me an email when you're when you're gonna before you leave, then I'll come on after you leave. We'll play tag team here.
I'll stay on the whole time.
Okay, cool.
I did what you taught me in the teaching hospice, and I took a
nap,
an hour long nap right before
smoke
the show.
Some crack.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I wish. If I was in Colorado, I'd smoke some green crack, but
yeah,
alas,
yeah.
I'm not.
I took an hour long kratom.
Yeah. Is
Who
that
did?
A thing? Does kratom come in time increments, like hours, minutes?
Give me that.
Yeah.
I only got enough money for a couple hours, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like a troy ounce of Bitcoin.
A troy ounce of Bitcoin.
Going on a holiday, are we?
Yeah. So Nima and I started this show years ago.
We did, yeah.
And I found this picture. I guess is this a meme? And his brother is the latest fiend. His brother got droned. It's one of those
that is,
nights.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You talking about me with a dog chain on, not wearing a shirt, mohawk, like Heroin Bob style.
What picture are you talking
about?
No. Is this a picture?
Oh.
No. It doesn't really look like you. Just got a beard. It's kind of intense looking. But it says, I think it's one of those, what they call exploitable, which are memes that, like, it's a crazy picture and then you put your own words on them. That's the actual name for that. No one, they just call it a reusable or whatever, but it's called a exploitable. So I think this is an exploitable.
In America, we're divided between deplorables and exploitables, right?
Yeah. And I've never seen this picture before, but it just looks like it's probably one. It's like a crazy guy with a tie with a bunch of documents on the wall with like red strings connecting them. You know, and he's like explaining something crazy, and it says, you know, kind of like in A Beautiful Mind, and it kind of looks like Nima, or like, you know, maybe more like Frank.
Wait,
and
that's the guy from Philadelphia, right? Always Sunny Inn?
Oh, is that the show? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It looks familiar. And it says, liberals explaining how the shooter doesn't represent all Democrats, but does represent all gun owners. I like it. You know, this is a noodle twister. So, like, you know, we're not going to celebrate someone dying, but a Republican got killed today. What do they call them? Congressman? Yeah. Didn't he, Nima?
I don't know if he died. I only know this through memes, too, so I don't have any first primary
I heard he got shot in the butt or something like that.
Either way,
let's see.
It was horrible. We don't recommend shooting Congress.
No, he's critically injured. He's not dead. Okay. There was a lot of misinformation. I heard that Rand Paul got shot this morning, but Rand Paul was there, but he did not get shot. And there was another, like, there was a doctor there. There's a senator that's a doctor other than Ron Paul. You know, that's a real doctor, not an optometrist, who actually, like, saved somebody's life. Yeah. Shots fired.
I mean, if he got shot in the eye, then Rand Paul could come and help.
Yeah, he's not a real doctor. Like, you know, he's unlike Rand Paul. He's a real doctor. His dad's a real doctor. But, you know, wait, is that too soon? Shots fired? Oh, wait, that's too soon.
That's
okay.
Too soon.
Yeah. Shots fired. He's not a real doctor. So
do you think the guy called his gun a burner?
Because why? Because he liked Bernie Sanders.
Well,
did you see Bernie on the floor of Congress, like, apologizing that the guy that killed some other or shot a bunch of people was one of his campaign workers?
And saying that he condones violence in no way, shape, or form. And yeah. Somebody on Facebook was like, aren't all your policies implicitly violent? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, too soon. I mean, we're probably the only people on talk radio who aren't going, this is a travesty.
That should be the new tagline for Freedom Fiends. Too soon.
You know, I would almost Freedom Fiends. Too soon. Exactly. I like that. Yeah, you know.
What was the old one? Laughing while Western civilization collapses? I bet that's still my favorite. Yeah.
What's that, Lou?
That was my favorite.
It's not gone. We can use all of them, man.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't even want to say this. I will say some would say this was actually the Second Amendment in action.
Mm. Ooh. I've heard that too. Somebody was like, "Well, I thought we were supposed to Patriots back in 1775 shoot the bees. Patriots in 2017. Oh, please don't shoot the bees." So
Yeah. And we're not saying it's good. We're not saying shoot people. We're just saying, wow, that happened. I mean, I remember. Here's what I wonder. This
isn't the first time either. It was what? What was it?
It was a Democrat last time, though. That was a Democrat. Well, did you hear about one of the congressmen left the baseball game early? You know, I'd look at that guy. I want to read his email leading up to this. But the guy that left right before, like, this happened, he ran into the shooter in the parking lot. This is true. This is not a joke. You know, he didn't know who it was. Later,
gave him the code word.
Well, yeah. Well, the guy said, so who's playing today, the Republicans or the Democrats? And the Republican that was leaving said, it's the Republicans. And the guy said, thanks. And as soon as that guy was gone, this guy ran out in the field and started shooting. You know, got his gun out of his trunk. And, yeah, man. Crazy, crazy stuff. But I just wonder. So do Republicans yell for gun control now? That's what I want to see, and I haven't really heard much discussion of that possibility.
I mean, in a way, haven't they always called for some gun control? I mean, even the NRA.
Yeah, but I just wonder. I just wonder if they're gonna. You know, I can't picture them. You know, I really believe that if I were shot and I lived, I'd say, I don't think there should be gun control. It wouldn't have stopped this, you know.
I mean, the super statist Republican response is more likely going to be restricting other things that they generally like.
I think it's going to be like mental health,
free speech.
Yeah, the internet and free speech and mental health testing everyone. Yeah,
and iced tea CDs.
What? Iced tea CDs?
Free iced tea CDs? Really?
Yeah.
No.
Like spoken word after he was on Law and Order, talking about how great cops
after he became
are.
A cop.
Yeah. You may not remember this, Nima, but he had
an album called
Okay. Yeah, Body Count and Cop Killer.
Yeah.
Right.
Although that really it wasn't really pro cop killing. It was more like, you know, from the viewpoint of the cop killer. And he said, you know, that wasn't really his excuse. If you listen to that song, it is kind of like one of those songs where, you know, like someone gets in the mind of a serial killer or something like that. But, you know, it was horror core, basically. And I use the word core loosely because body counts are really horrible.
Pre-Juggalo? You're saying it Juggalo?
Yeah, it was. It really was. Because, except, you know, the beats are better with the Juggalos because they use drum machines. I mean, Body Count is a really horrible hardcore band. Bad. Can't really play.
There was one song on there that I really, really liked. It was
For the punchline.
The Winner Loses or something like that.
I don't know that one.
It was about drug addiction or something like that. I can't remember.
I'm not too young to not know what it is, but I am too young to have jammed that album. And when I think about Ice-T rapping, it like blows my mind. Like, really?
You read about it in high school.
Yeah, in history class.
Grade school. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like when people think of Ice, when people younger than me think of Ice Cube, they're like, really? The guy in the Family Movies used to be a rapper?
Yeah, he was N.W.A., right?
N.W.A.
No.
Big words
Ice, oh, yeah, Ice Cube was not Ice-T. Yeah, yeah, whereas, now whereas F, now F the Police was adamantly anti-cop, and it's still a great tune.
Yeah, it is.
Now N.W.A. stands for N-Words with Arthritis.
Oh, man. Well, N-Words with AIDS, because one of them's died of AIDS, too.
Wow.
Is that too soon? Eazy-E's gonna come get me from the beyond the grave.
I'm gonna still say that's too soon.
It's been like 50 years, hasn't
too
it?
Too easy.
I think they're gonna ban Democrats owning guns. They're gonna have a modest proposal, and Republicans are gonna try to ban, because a lot of the mass shootings lately have been Democrats. A lot of them. Have you noticed that?
Have like, they?
Well, the cop that went on a cop killing spree that they dropped a bomb on in the forest. In L.A., the one where they were, shooting Hispanic ladies in a completely different country.
Yeah.
Where they were shooting, like, people that weren't the same race, age, sex, and driving a car of a different color instead of the same truck. Just, oh, my God, someone's out at 4 a.m. going to work. Kill them. Yeah.
Yeah, they shot up a car, 100 times? There were 100 little
holes in the truck? And then that guy, the guy that shot up some people at the Navy Yard in Maryland, I think it was.
That guy was a Democrat, too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The interesting thing about Dorner is Los Angeles being the scumbag city that it is, the city wanted to do a settlement with the two Latin women, with the two petite Latina women that they mistook for
a 300-pound muscle-bound black guy who was 6'4". Yeah.
Yeah, that looked like Ice-T. Or not Ice-T. Yeah. Oh, God.
LL Cool J.
Yeah, LL Cool J. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they offered a settlement of, like, I don't know, like $10,000 or something like that, and then tried to 1099 the women for the for the $10,000 or whatever it was. Really? Yeah,
of course they did.
Wow. So they can get that.
You mean
cut
tax
back
them for it? Yeah. Right.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's Common Core math, Los Angeles. Two Latin women equals one large black man.
Oh,
everything's
man
fluid now.
Well, you know, Ted Nugent used to say that too. What is it? What do you say that, you know, two 17-year-old girls are the same as one 35-year-old woman? See, it's what he used to tell his wife, I heard.
When he's out away with it. I don't think he's married anymore.
I don't know. I think he's married, like, I think he's divorced like 4 times.
Okay. He's got the whole Trump philosophy on marriage. I can dig it, man. It's their own. Well, regardless of whether the shooters are all statist, right? I mean, no matter what, regardless of whether they're Democrat or Republican, they're statist.
Anarchists never shoot anybody, except, you know, left anarchists who aren't really anarchists.
Yeah, they're just Democrats who like red and black together.
Yeah. They're just violent, more violent Democrats. All right, right. Have a good show, y'all. Let's get Knight back on here. Knight. Yeah.
Farms.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. This is Lou and on here. Do we have Knight or
yes, sir.
Oh, welcome back, Knight. So, is this your first appearance on the show?
No, this is my second, or actually fourth.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was here when it was at the early stages.
Okay, so back when it was first time radio and everything else?
No, I think it was still just strictly a podcast.
Okay, well, I think I remember that. You're one of Nima's brothers, right?
Yes, I'm his youngest brother.
Okay. All right, well, cool. So anyway, I got a little bit of housekeeping to do here, and it looks like Nima's been booted, so hopefully he'll be back soon. But anyway, I wanted to put out a final call for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Thursday, June 22nd through Monday, June 26th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. And I don't know how much longer you'll be able to register online. You can go to mplfest.org and register there if it's still available. We will be doing registration at the event. And probably that's how at least half of the people do it, is they register for the event, or I'm sorry, they show up at the gate and they're like, hey, we need a camping site, and we get them set up. So there's nothing to worry about in regards to that. So if you haven't registered yet, no problem. Just pack your bags and come on down and join us. It'll be starting Thursday. So get on down and have a good old time. The calendar is posted for the different events that are going to be going on. And this is pretty interesting. On Friday afternoon, from 4 to 5 p.m., there's going to be a Learn How to Roll Sushi, which it's not really my thing. At 8:30 p.m. Yeah, I think it's 8:30 p.m. because... Well, I'm looking at the Central Time. But anyway, there will be a screening of Deep Web in the pavilion at 8:30 p.m. Then after that, we're hoping to have a Skype chat with Lynn Albrecht, the mother of Ross Albrecht from the Silk Road. She'll be at Porkfest, but she'll be Skyping in to us for a conversation to discuss Ross's case and then also talk about the movie Deep Web.
Have you talked to Lynn since the appeal went sour?
No, I haven't. The last time I spoke to her was at Porkfest last year.
Okay. That was really harsh news, man. And for those who don't know, did you already explain Ross Albrecht before I jumped on in this segment?
Yeah, I mentioned a little bit. He's allegedly the creator of the Silk Road, and what that was a Deep Web website. Is it Deep Web or Dark Web?
Deep Web.
For the category. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I don't know. Supposedly there's a little difference between the two of them. Yeah. I'm not that technically inclined. But if he is the actual creator of the Silk Road, then he performed a public service because he did something that the FBI and every police agency and every flag-waving patriot in America failed to do, and that was he reduced the violence of drug transactions because there was nobody that was killed in a drug deal gone bad using the Silk Road.
Right. And there's a lot of smear campaign, I feel like, in the media right now against Ross. Writers in mainstream papers treating the parts of the case like the fact, not the fact, but the allegation that Ross put hits on people as if they were fact. When those charges were in fact dropped by the prosecution, and those charges never actually had enough weight to hold up, even as something the prosecution mentioned at all.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I believe a couple of the FBI investigators from the case wound up going to jail also for malfeasance involving the case. So at the very least, the government's case is worse than it usually is.
Right.
So really horrible. But anyway, it'll be nice to chat with Lynn and touch base with her. Starting on Saturday morning, there'll be yoga with Mary Vandekar. Adam Williams will be coming in from the Netherlands and speaking on Saturday morning, followed by Dana Martin, the radical unschooling mom. Those are a couple of speakers from Anarchapulco. At noon, no, I'm sorry, 1 p.m., Dr. Mary Ruart will be speaking.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like her. I wanted to read her book, and I've wanted to buy her book as gifts for people, but I've never gotten a chance to. Will she be giving out books, signing them at least?
I don't really know. I'm not communicating with folks in that regard, but we'll talk more about that when we come back from this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When this final element issues, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, then gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, then gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all.
And I'm joined by Nemo Vidati, founding fiend, and young fiend, knight. So we were talking about the schedule for the upcoming Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be June 22nd through the 26th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan. Round up your friends and family and get them out there. Take your friends and family to camp. When we left off, we were talking about Dr. Mary Ruart will be speaking at 1 p.m. And I believe she's going to be talking about how regulation has destroyed the medical industry and things that she's had that she's dealt with. And she's written quite substantially on that. But she's the opening act for one of the people I'm really excited to see. At 2 p.m., it will be Nick Hazelton talking about Yaks and Weed, The Road to Freedom, or something like that. I don't know.
Wait, but, Nick's the headliner and Mary Ruart's the opener?
What? It's kind of like when you and Michael interviewed the news guy, the Ben Ron Swan. Paul news guy. Yeah, Ben Swan, for the first hour and a half, and I came on for like the last half hour of the show, and I told everybody that Ben Swan was my warm-up act.
right.
Okay. Which in my mind was true, but anyway. After Nick, we have James Weeks, another Freedom Fiend, and Jeff Wood. Group photo at 4 o'clock. Mike Slomczynski at 5 o'clock. Jeffrey Tucker will be speaking at 6. He's going to flying in from Pork Fest and speaking at Liberty Fest.
Love me some Tucker.
Yeah, right after that, there'll be a recording of Anarchy Roundtable, and the Anarchy Ball will be from 9 p.m. to midnight. And that was kind of
what are those balls like? Are they usually pretty full?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not the big gay dance party.
Okay. It's not.
So
still a good time.
It was. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think last year at Porkfest there was no big gay dance party. I don't even think Buzz Webb showed up out there last year.
Oh, what happened? Will Cole,
she just got tired of it. But Will Coley did a cosplay dance party. So, which was kind of gay. But anyway, starting off Sunday morning at 9 a.m., there will be Bourbon for Breakfast with Jeffrey Tucker. I guess everybody's going to get together and drink bourbon with Jeffrey.
I'm really curious what kind of bourbon Jeff Tucker is going to drink. Because he like loves McDonald's. He loves the finer things, but he also loves to find the fineness in the common things. Like, he writes extensively about his love of McDonald's and Arby's Market Fresh sandwiches. He has a whole article on. I'm really hoping he brings some Evan Williams and goes off on how awesome Evan Williams is.
I really don't know. I will have my Jim Beam, though. That's a guaranteed.
You're a Jim fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been drinking that since I was, like, I don't know, 16, 17. Good stuff.
I used to drink that in college. I was a fan of Jim at the time. I always preferred it to Jack. Everybody in college is always like, Jack, woo! And I was like, nah, that's lame. Yeah. Jim, man. But then I found out that Evan Williams tastes better and is cheaper. And so that was my jam when I was a drinker.
Perhaps I shall have to partake and try. So anyway, at 10 o'clock, we got yoga with Mary Vandekar again. 11 o'clock, Daniel Price will be speaking about privacy. I can't see the whole thing. I imagine it's going to be some sort of cyber privacy. Sterling Lujan will be at noon. And Paul Gordon will be doing Vis Privis at at 1, and Andrew Merrick will be doing something right after that. Shane Radliff, an occasional fiend, will be doing the Vanu podcast, The Search for Personal Freedom. Adam Williams again at 4:30. And there's going to be some open presentation times, but the cool, one of the things that I look forward to, and yeah, I probably shouldn't look forward to it so much because I'm the one that does most of the work, is Monday after everybody breaks down and everything, we will be doing a group breakfast, and I will be cooking breakfast for everybody who's still there on Monday morning. So people will bring over leftover eggs, bacon, potatoes, stuff like that, and just... I'll throw it all together in a big giant stone soup style community breakfast. Nice. It's pretty neat. It goes over pretty well. And I will have the assault kitchen there, and I have some new accessories for the assault kitchen, some new long range optics that will, that will make the bacon go further.
Nice. Nice. Multiple bacon magazines.
Yes. High capacity bacon magazines. I have a, I think it's a 12 quart cast iron, Dutch oven.
Oh, geez.
Do you know how much bacon I can cook in that at one time?
I would like to know. It sounds like a lot. How many pounds?
I don't know. I might need help to lift it all in there.
You need a bacon crane? Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's just some of the stuff that we have going on at Liberty Fest. Get on out there. If you're in the area, stop on by. If you're not in the area, get in the area. Round up your friends and family and bring them to the camps.
Now, when did you guys start this Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest? Because I feel like it's new, but maybe I'm just letting the time slip by. How old is it?
Well, this is the fifth one here. And the first one was over on the east side of southeastern Michigan, just outside of the Detroit area. And Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, came up for that one. And we did, I think the first hour of the Freedom Fiends was people from the fest talking to you and Michael.
I remember that. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
God, I'm old.
I'm not even sure if you guys were on LRN yet.
No.
No. You were on LRN because
we weren't on radio yet, I think it was.
Right.
Where were we? I don't know.
No.
That's crazy, but it seems like it's grown so much. It's like a big thing now, huh?
It's getting there, yeah. We expect a couple hundred people there this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and some nice big names, and awesome people too, and no crap people. There's no Chris Cantwell or anything like that. So kudos to you, Lou. Is this mainly your thing, or you're like one of the organizers, right?
I'm just a tiny cog in the wheel of the machine.
Oh really? Who do I blame for this?
I don't really do a whole lot as far as the organization goes, since I live so far away. I know in the digital age you don't have to be there, but in many regards it makes it a lot easier. We have folks that are doing the liaison work with the facility at Circle Pine Center, and they're signing the contracts and making arrangements and seeing about doing this, that, and the other thing. We have people that are taking care of decorations. We have people there making sure that there's plenty of supplies, because it's more than just show up and pitch a tent as far as the organization goes. I've done some of the promotion stuff, interviews and things like that. There's a lot behind the scenes action that most people don't realize that it's there. Yeah, there's a dedicated crew. There's going to be a lot of people volunteering out there. And it does take a lot of volunteer work to pull this off. And there will be opportunities to volunteer, like manning the welcome booth. And there will be rewards for doing that, discounts off of future festivals and other things. But get on out there. It's a good time.
Who, me? Or the public in general?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody. Knight, get up here.
Yeah,
Nima, get up here.
Knight, can you drive yet?
No, I have my permit, though.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
Oh, you still don't know how to drive. Are you supposed to take driver's ed? Is that, like, still a thing?
No, we're doing the teach-at-home thing, but I'm basically just cheating the DPS.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
They won't know.
You just implicated yourself. Jeez. supposed to say, am I being detained? okay, so you're doing it legitimately by all accounts. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was just a joke.
When are you going to be ready to drive and drive up to Michigan?
Whenever Mark starts teaching me how to drive.
See, you're waiting on somebody else. You got to stop that. I used to do that when I lived with Mom and them. Don't wait. Just do it. Just learn.
You know, I mean, I can't legally learn on my own.
Why? Hire somebody. Go to Craigslist. Say, hey, teach me how to drive. I'll give you a free Big Mac every time you come to my McDonald's.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really trust Craigslist.
Was he a politician giving away somebody else's stuff?
Sure. You got to hustle, man. You got to escape that. You got to do that. When you're a kid, see, that's the thing is, and I think this is a big product of public schools and our current youth, is none of them really know or are taught or rewarded for taking the initiative. It's all about waiting for the next class period or yada yada, waiting for somebody to teach you how to do this, do that. Just do it, Knight. Figure it out. That's word from your big brother.
Well, plus the car that I have,
I don't know.
I can't drive the car.
Why?
The shifter cable is like, it's bad, and plus so are the tires.
Okay.
And I'm told all the time that it's about to be fixed, but
maybe our fellow fiend Nick Hazelton can rent you a yak and you can ride up here on yak back for the fest.
There you go. You don't have any friends in school that are mechanically inclined whose dad owns like a used tire shop, nothing like that. You gotta hustle, man.
Man, all my friends play League of Legends for 6 hours a day.
Oh, so I guess that's a no. What is League of Legends? Is that the new World of Warcraft?
It's supposed to be like the number one game in the world. It's what started esports. It's what you see on ESPN.
Well, do any of these game players have dads that own like a used tire shop, or do those dads play League of Legends also?
Those dads might play League of Legends, but I don't know any.
Okay.
A little bit of Spider Solitaire mixed in.
Yeah,
Spider Solitaire. Mom plays that all the time.
Old people love them some Solitaire. I don't really know why, but
I guess it's the only. Too.
Oh, sorry, Lou. No offense. This is the only game that makes sense to a brain over that age. Is that it?
Well, the nice thing I play Spider Solitaire. With that one there, I usually do the easy level, and the purpose of that is to win as many games consecutively as possible, but also to try and get the highest score possible by reducing the number of moves that are used, and then also looking at the time. So it's kind of like a brain exercise. I'm hoping that it'll keep the Alzheimer's away.
Okay. So kind of like the way some people use crossword puzzles and stuff like that. Keep your mind sharp. Tut, tut.
Yeah, it's a squeeze ball for the brain. We'll be back.
Peace.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is your founding fiend father, Nima V, so known as Nima Vidati. We've got Knight Constantino, who's actually my youngest brother, biological brother, half, but you know, good enough. And we've got Lou Fiend here. Lou was like one of our first regular callers, and he got promoted to regular co-host and like one of the best.
Yeah, I moved up the ladder
right now. Go ahead, Lou.
I moved up the ladder from like the very bottom. I started off as a caller and blogger and admin for the Facebook page, and finally wound up doing some Fiend in the Field reporting, and boom, now here I am.
I would never say you were at the bottom. I mean, because obviously you have, if you have a call-in show, you're going to have some callers that are less than, to put it mildly. You were always one of our favorite callers, so you were never at the bottom. But I wanted to get into some defense of the NAP. I feel like libertarian anarchy has kind of fallen apart, at least since I left the Fiends. I'm not saying that they're related or correlated at all, but I feel like back in the day we were kind of solid. Everybody got it, that the NAP was what united us. For those out in radio land, it's not taking a nap, although I could use one of those right now. The NAP stands for the Non-Aggression Principle, and I simplify it by saying it's basically don't hit people, don't steal stuff. If any of you listens to Tom Woods, one of his favorite things to say is that libertarianism is really just how do we use violence as a society? And if you're a libertarian, you say, well, you don't get to unless you're being attacked. And then you can, of course, defend yourself, because if you're defending yourself from a violent attack, what are you doing? You're preventing an act of aggression. So you're withholding, you're upholding the non-aggression principle. And a lot of people try to attack this on various things and say, oh, well, we can't do that. And my question to the people who attack the NIP and still call themselves libertarians is, who do you want to aggress against? Why? Why would you even try to attack it? And if you are not a fan, why are you a libertarian? What are you doing? Why are you an anarchist? Why do you claim that mantle? And it's because all of these silly things that they bring up to try to negate it or discredit it, like, oh, you can shoot somebody if they steal a paperclip, those are nonsense. Proportionality comes as part and parcel of it. And the thing about the non-aggression principle is it's a principle, right? We're all saying it's not right to hurt people unless they're coming to attack you. It's up to a judge. You know, in anarchy paradise or libertarian paradise, there'd be judges, different arbitrators, different people, even public opinion, could say whether an action was a violation of the non-aggression principle or not. You would deal with all of those things on a case-by-case basis. Stephen Kinsella does a lot of great defense of it, I think. He has a debate with some commie, I forget who, but just Google Stephen Kinsella defense of the NAP, and I think he does it way, 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 way better than me. But one of the things people do is they'll say, well, Murray Rothbard said that parents aren't responsible for their kids, so, and he came to that with the NAP, so that just immediately discredits it. Well, if you listen to Stephen Kinsella, what he says is it's not that kids have a positive right necessarily, or that parents have a positive responsibility. It's more like, his analogy is, if you took somebody up into a hot air balloon and then said, well, it's my property, you're in this hot air balloon, I want you to do this favor for me or I'll throw you out. Some people say, well, see, he doesn't violate the NAP. I would say, well, yes, you do, because you put that person in that situation. If you push somebody in a lake and they say, well, I'm not obligated to save you, well, you push them in that lake. You created their situation of dependence. So if you have a kid, you've created that kid's situation of dependence. You have made that. You are responsible for it. So then you must make sure they're taken care of until they can take care of themselves. Knight, do you have any thoughts on the non-aggression principle? I know you're a youngin', but I've been talking about this stuff since you were prepubescent. so how do you feel about it? Do you think there's any situation where it's okay to hurt somebody or steal their stuff, barring them coming to attack you?
Absolutely not. But you know what? We're going to go more in depth than just a simple answer like that when we get back.
We will. This long break, we have like about a minute of that lead out music. So usually we wait to pitch it out. It's a little bit later than that, but I appreciate you being on the ball, Knight. We'll be back with more defense of the NAP and an attack on another group. But this one's justified. It's self-defense. So we'll be back shortly on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be right back.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017. In the Alpha Centauri region, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. I am Nima V. We've got Knight Constantino, or Knight C, on the other end of this.
What's
fiend.
Up?
We've also got Lou Fiend here with me. Also, Lou Sander Fiend. How you doing, Lou?
Yo, yo, yo.
All right. So
I'm
as
happy.
We exited, you happy? What are you happy
yeah.
about?
I'm happy that I get to do a show with you. You're not on very often, and
that's true.
And I only got a chance to chat with you a couple times back in the old days. You know, for more than just like a segment.
That's so. True. Well, I'm happy to be here with you, Lou. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm happy to be here with Knight. He is my brother. I have not talked to him in a long time, so it's fun to connect with him over radio rather than an actual phone call. Usually we FB message each other, but it's been a while for even that. So I was kind of going through the non-aggression principle and my defense of it in the last segment, and we ended by asking Knight his thoughts. Knight's been aware of the NAP for a long time. I imagine lots of young people are familiar because it's basically the golden rule in a way. And in kindergarten, we are taught don't hit, don't steal. Knight, how do you feel about the non-aggression principle?
Well, I feel like it's, you know, a basic part and a basic foundation of, you know, human morals. You know, obviously we have people who drift away from that, and there's a pretty big amount of people who have drifted away from the non-aggression principle, but it can really show your true colors. You know, because I feel like the non-aggression principle means more than just don't hit, don't steal, but it's also about how you treat people and how you talk to people.
Yeah.
What
do you mean?
There's more.
What else is there, like, when it comes to mind? Because obviously those are simplifications, don't hit, don't steal. What else comes to mind? If you could put another sentence together to add to don't hit and don't steal, another short sentence, what would it be?
Don't bully. Don't bully. Tease okay. people. Like,
yeah.
There's just more that plays into factor.
Yeah. I would sum it up with don't be a D. And I'll let you guys define what the D stands for. But I'm sure you heard it said as the actual word when I said don't be a D. I think teasing and bullying is on the fence. You actually have to, I think, hurt somebody or aggress against them. I think you can be a D to somebody and still not violate the non-aggression principle or the NAP. But I think to be a good person, you don't want to do that. And I think when I'm a libertarian, I try to be a thin libertarian, and I want to say property rights, non-aggression principle is the main thing. But when I'm a human being, I want to be like Knight just said. I want to not be a bully. I want to be a good person. I want people to like me. I think where people, like you said, they fall away from the NAP, I think that is what happens. I think humans rationalize things, and as we get older, we get better at it. We get better at thinking, oh, well, I did this one thing, but I did it for this reason and that reason, and you justify it in your head. And so I think that's what happens. I think people are listening to us, and they're probably thinking, well, yeah, of course, everybody believes in the non-aggression principle. Maybe people who haven't thought about it before. You know, your run-of-the-mill Democrat and Republican. But where I think it departs from most people is we apply it to everyone. We apply it to police officers. We apply it to Congress critters. We apply it to soldiers. And so, you know, when the government says, well, you need to pay your taxes, well, to us, or to me at least, that's a form of theft. That is an involuntary taking of my hard-earned property. And you could say, well, you voluntarily pay it. Yeah, I do, because there is, in essence, a gun to my head. Because of something me and Michael used to call the aggression principle. Not the non-aggression principle, but the aggression principle. And we defined that as, well, if you don't pay your taxes, then it escalates, right? You get the letter, you ignore the letter, you get a knock on the door, you ignore the knock, they knock the door down, they throw you on the ground, you keep resisting, and they have the right, well, in their minds, they feel they are justified in shooting you or hurting you in some other way. People get killed for broken taillights. You know, don't call me an extremist, because that actually happens. People do get killed for ridiculous violations of these government laws, quote unquote. So I think that when you apply the NAP, you have to apply it to everybody. And that's what makes us anarchists, because I can't conceive of a state the way you guys think of it, you non-libertarian anarchists think of it, without violating people's rights, without violating the non-aggression principle. What do you think, Luke?
Excuse me, Nima. I modified the aggression principle to clarify a little bit more. It's okay. Called the full aggression principle, or the FAP, nice. For short.
Some much needed comic relief. Thank you, Luke. The FAP.
Thank you very much.
All you FAPers.
Just doing my job.
So that leads us to our next point. Which is an attack on Bordertarians. Lou, what's a Bordertarian?
Oh, a Bordertarian. That would be one of the anarcho-statists, usually of the nationalistic types, that believe that government is completely illegitimate, but since government does exist, it ought to do certain things. And one of their preferences is that the government maintain these arbitrary lines, which they call borders. So the illegitimate border has a legitimate role of being enforced by government.
Right. Which is hilarious, because I would probably count Stefan Molyneux as a Bordertarian. And he, I think, is where I got this from, that national borders are, in essence, just where one mass murdering band ran into another mass murdering band and decided to not go any further. So that's where your borders come from, is who decided to stop killing and where.
The Stefan Molyneux of today could listen to the Stefan Molyneux of a few years ago.
If only, he might learn something. But I think we're not supposed to talk about him, right? That's like that's a fiend policy. Is that how?
It's a guideline. It's not an actual law.
We could break it, right? We're not violating the NAP and breaking it.
He is not he that shall not be named.
Okay. Well, I already named him too, so I can do that though, right? Because I'm capital F. Well, y'all are all capital F's too, but I'm founding fiend, mm-hmm. So I can get away with it when it's my watch. Time with my kids. You can get away with it. Mom won't know. Don't worry. I won't tell her. But, so that blows my mind. And that's the big infight right now for all y'all out there in Radio Land. It's kind of inside baseball, but I think division, internal division even, is really a motif in all of America right now. Democrats are divided. I've got a friend in Utah. And he is a huge Bernie supporter, and he was visiting town the other week and telling me all about the internal divisions in the Utah Democratic Congress, or whatever they call it over there. Republicans are divided, Trumpians and non-Trumpians, rhinos, etc. Just to let y'all be at ease, it's even us libertarians are broken into different factions. The divide and conquer is strong, and unfortunately, that's the state's tactic, right? It's to divide us all. And in a sense, it really sad.
It's not really the state's tactic. I mean, people in government will do things to divide and conquer. But for the most part, the general public will do the work for them.
That's true.
So the politician drops like one little bead in the pond, and all the ripples from like the water pushing itself all over the place.
Yeah,
that's probably a lousy analogy, but
no, I get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point too, and you know, I think that leads me to another point that I think we should embrace the division. I think we should all recognize this division and realize that there's no need for us to all pretend we can be in some giant conglomerate we call the United States of America, where there's more than 300 million people, and we all mostly disagree with each other. I mean, we pretend that we can figure out how to have one set of standards and laws that we all follow and agree to follow, but usually a group of three or more, a group of two or more, can't decide what to eat for dinner. And the penalty for not following these federal laws is federal prison, which is not something you want to play with. So I really think, and a lot of people are talking about that, that is one thread in mainstream libertarian and anarchism right now that I'm really loving. Jeff Deist is really into it right now, and Tom Woods is really into it right now. And I want to kind of parrot them, that I think the hope moving forward is helping ourselves divide from each other, is trying to be as amicable as possible so that we can turn this cold civil war and keep it that way into a happy separation rather than a shooting civil war, where literally today we have a Bernie supporter shooting Republicans at a baseball. What's saying?
Well, I guess it would be nice if people stopped shooting each other.
It would be
I'm
nice.
I'm not super hopeful, because I think people are going to continue to divide themselves. It's kind of like when you have a dispute and you don't know where it started. Let's call it a family blood feud.
A
blood feud that's been going on for generations after generations, and each family has its own folklore of how it started, of right. how somebody from that other family did something to one of ours, and the other family has the same thing, and it might just be one guy stepped on the other person's land and it killed a pet rabbit or something. Who knows? Just something idiotic, but they've been fighting over this for so many generations. Nobody knows the true cause of it, and they can never agree that they're even. They always say, well, I'll be even when I've done this to them. And the other person will say, well, we'll be even when I've done that to them. And they keep trying to one-up each other in attempts to get even. And since everybody feels that they're not even yet, they're going to keep on doing it. And quite frankly, that's what a lot of the political stuff does. People just, they want to get the last word in. They want to be more even than the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's spot on. And I feel like that's part of the beauty of America as it initially existed, the new world, right? A lot of people were getting away from these old world feuds that continue to smolder this day. But I mean, I guess what's the timeline on that, right? How long before the new world starts to feel just like the old world? I think that's what we're...
The day after the revolution.
Yeah, that's when the radicals become the conservatives. You got it, because they've got the ring of power. We'll have more on that topic in just a bit after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
All right, this is Ema, the daddy on the Freedom Fiends, here with Lou Fiend, one of our early Fiend adopters, and Knight, my youngest brother, and our newest Fiend. How are y'all yes, doing, sir. Gentlemen?
Doing very well. How are you, Nima?
Excellent. And you,
I am proof that you can. I am proof that you can work your way out of the mailroom at the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends teaching hospice. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Lou, you, as soon as we ended that last segment, you said something really interesting about how the people that came to the New World, or America, at least the land between Canada mm-hmm. and Mexico, there are a few different motivations, right? It wasn't just to come here for freedom. There were some other motivations from other individuals. Can you go ahead and recreate that for us?
Yeah. There's there's the government school teaches that the Pilgrims and Puritans, they came here to be free to practice their religion and to escape persecution back in Europe, and that's completely false. They didn't come here to be free from persecution. They came here to be free to persecute. Right. They were horrible people. They thought the proper way to use their Bibles was to beat other people over the head with them. And I'm not a theologian or a very religious person, but I'm pretty sure that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But anyway, they're real jerks and very violent too. Yeah. But the people that came over to the New World were the religious fanatics and zealots, the early radical, basically the equivalent of the radical Muslim fundamentalist types. So the Christian equivalent of that. So well, yeah, anyway,
that's a good analogy, I think.
Yeah. So you got the religious fanatics that came over here to escape the heathens back in Europe. You have the individualists that came over here to escape the collectivists back in Europe. And then finally, the third group that came over here was the collectivist heathen who wanted to make the new world just like Europe.
Right.
So
right.
You could say that America never really had a chance.
But I think we did have a lot more freedom, and freedom did flourish in certain pockets that were, I guess, out of the purview of the Puritans in certain areas or out of the purview of the state in other areas. And a great book on this is Thaddeus Russell's A Renegade History of the United States. I've read a few chapters. I haven't finished the whole thing yet. But the basic gist of the book is that the people who actually push freedom, a lot of the freedom that we all enjoy today, the stuff that gives us the good parts of modern American life, is because of average people that don't really care about what the Puritans say. And he also explains how Puritanism is a strain in American life that continues to this day. I would argue that both sides of the aisle in the American state have that Puritan streak in them. The progressives and your Christian conservatives are both heirs to that. But he makes the case that, you know, it was prostitutes and people like that who had a lot of the race relations increase, you know, freedom to sleep with who you wanted to sleep with. And your average person, your fun seeker out on Coney Island, going and buying whatever you wanted to, spending your money frivolously on cotton candy and such that the early progressives hated, and they wanted to make sure people's paychecks kept them down and that they could only spend frugally rather than on fun. And so I think that that's where I stand. I think your average person really does want freedom, or a lot of your average people really do want freedom. And where Americans push freedom is when we're bucking against these Puritans in the state.
Yeah, H.L. Mencken had a quote about Puritanism. He says, Puritans are those that are they're absolutely bedeviled that somebody somewhere might be happy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, that's what life and freedom is. It's the pursuit of happiness, right?
Yeah.
What happened to that? I mean, that's what we're all pursuing. And, you know, some people's happiness might be following the scripture and whatever it is. That's fine. That's great. You do that, though, and don't let me affect your happiness by my pursuit of happiness. We can both pursue concurrently and not attack each other. That's the whole argument behind the libertarianism I want to create, the anarchy I want to create is you do your thing, man. I'll do me.
Yeah, but when you look at and interestingly enough, the name libertarianism was coined, I believe it was, to show the opposite of its authoritarianism. And right. The authoritarian is somebody that says, well, I expect you to live your life the way that I see fit because yeah. I have these beliefs. So if you have a theist, let's say you have a strict Christian conservative, a Puritan of sorts, that person demands that you adhere to their beliefs. Whereas a libertarian that says live and let live is going to say, oh, you have some beliefs? That's nice.
Right.
You
right.
do you, bro.
And a authoritarian says, just stay on the other side of that imaginary line. Please, don't hurt me.
We'll be back. Culture.
And my culture.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Gotta wait till that bass line kicks in. Bass line recorded, obviously, by Michael W. Dean, co-founder of this show. This show is called The Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima V, the other co-founder. We've got Lou Fien, one of our classics on here, and we've got rookie Knight Constantino. KC, how you doing, Knight?
Doing very well. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Lou tells us he's about to drop some mad scientist. Both of our pet peeves, or we both share a pet peeve, of bordertarians, people who claim that sometimes they call themselves anarcho-nationalists. They'll try to say, oh, hey, you know what? You can have a nation without a state, Lou. So you saying that that we should have open borders is just dumb because we're a nation. What do you say to that, Lou?
Yeah, the person that uses that the most refers to one of the most obscure, least used definitions of a nation, meaning a group of people. I think the last time that nation was used to describe a group of people was in the Bible, talking about the nations of Israel. Right. But anyway, so when you talk about the nation as we think of the nation state, and they'll deny that they're talking about a nation state, and I really think that it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek doublespeak of, well, this is what I mean, but no, that's not what I mean.
Right.
So it's really built on
a bunch of contradictions and confusions. For instance, they'll come out with this. This is one of their favorite things is, oh, so you're just going to not lock your doors at night? Do you leave your fence open and let anybody come hang out in your front yard? No, guys, there's a clear distinction. That's one of the big things about libertarian thought is the importance of private property, right? If you're the owner of your home or your property, your land, whatever it is, you are the decision maker. There's a great book. It was one of the things that brought me to finally become an anarchist. It's called Boundaries of Order. I've talked about it on The Fiends a million times, I'm sure. It's by Butler Schaefer. Check it out. You can have boundaries, right? There's private property boundaries. You paid for something, you agree, everybody recognizes that you are the owner. If you're the true owner of something, you can decide to destroy it. If I want to demolish my home, I can. Nobody has a prior restraint on that. The state might claim it, or coding, or zoning, or whatever. But that's not legitimate in my mind, at least, or moral in my mind, at least. That's not the same as a national border. A national border is a big imaginary thing, decided by war usually, and we don't have one owner. We have what's called democracy. So we have this whole corrupt political machine that gets to make the final decisions on that. And to become a bordertarian, you're basically saying, well, I want to be part of this democracy. I want to be one of the deciding factors in what happens to this border. I want to be part of the state decision-making process. And then I want the state to use its resources, its taxpayer resources, to do what I want the state to do. If you make those conceits, then you become a statist. You are probably a Republican if you're a closed border anarcho-nationalist. I guess you'd be a Democrat if you're like a forced migration person, because that's the other straw man is, oh, well, you just want forced migration. You want the government to import a bunch of Syrians that we bombed their homes, and you want the government to pay for them to come here.
Excuse me. Either. Nima?
Yeah?
Don't mouse pocket me, bro.
We didn't bomb
anything.
You're right. The mouse in your pocket. Okay, yeah.
You have to throw a Satoshi in the collectivism jar, because you said we...
Thank you. Yes,
going back to the you've really gone off on your rant here. Going back to the whole thing about, well, you're not going to lock your doors. what these people don't understand, because one of the basics of libertarianism, of anarcho-capitalism, is private property rights.
Right.
And there's this beautiful picture out there, some meme, and I love memes. Memes are the digital bumper stickers going up and down the information superhighway, just dropping mad knowledge all over the place, dropping mad scientists like a B-52 strike. And it shows these different houses in a row, and it points at one and says, your house, and then points at all the others and says, not your house. And the whole thing is your rights begin where mine end, and my rights end where yours begin. That whole thing is, your property rights end where your property line ends. And you don't have the authority, you don't have the legitimate right to say what other people are going to do with their property. You can't tell me that I can't rent to somebody who doesn't have permission from the government to travel here and reside here and work here. You can't tell me that I can't sell them my house when I'm done with it. You can't tell me that I can't hire them to do some work.
Right.
Because that is my property rights. And what these people are doing is they're confusing. And when they're talking about we own the United States, and you'll really get this out of the Republicans. Yes. They'll say, we own this land. Oh, really? We have a collective ownership of it. Right. Each of us, we all own it together. Equally, but the government manages it on our behalf. And they're like, you're darn right, you bleeding socialist.
Just complete nonsense.
Because what they've just done is they've used state socialism as an argument.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Because they use this whole net taxpayer thing too, right? Like, well, we paid for all this welfare.
They're purchasing shares of stock in a corporation or something like that.
Yeah.
No, right. Shut the Feinstein up.
Yeah, and I wonder really how they came to call themselves anarchists in the first place, because to me part of the journey is realizing
election cycles, they had a little time to kill, they found something that piqued their interest, and then all of a sudden the election cycle came back up, and it's like they checked into rehab. Better yet, it was wintertime in Detroit, and they went to the homeless shelter or the rehab, and they checked in so that they'd have a warm place to lay up during the wintertime. Election season come, Trump started with his populism, and it was like springtime or early summer, and they went out on the streets and went back to being dopes.
If you converted to atheism and then you became a born again Christian, but then you still believe God doesn't exist. You still say you believe God doesn't exist, right? Like, they don't make any sense together.
I'm an anarchist and I support government controlling the borders. I'm also a vegan for moral reasons, and I just love veal parmesan.
Oh, you're making me hungry now, Luke.
Just doing my job.
Yeah.
And that's why you should come to Liberty Fest, because I will be serving breakfast I'll definitely make an omelet in the morning.
Okay.
The assault kitchen. But anyway, yeah.
Make an omelet, you gotta break some eggs. We gotta break some of these anarcho nationalist eggs.
That's a Lenin quote. Which is quite fitting when you're talking about his fellow communists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the other thing that really gets me is on my journey, and I feel like on most of our journeys, we realize the inefficacy of the state, right? We realize that the state is bad at doing whatever it does. And whatever it doesn't actually serve anybody's interest, right? Other than the people benefiting from the tax money, other than the tax thieves, the people getting the big pensions, the big checks, dipping into the pockets, the special interests, people like Lockheed, Raytheon, stuff like that. Those are the people that benefit. The actual people that are calling for whatever it is don't get anything out of the deal.
They get crumbs from that fall from the table, and they think that it's the bountiful feast. They're picturing the cornucopia of fruits and all this other stuff, and from like the traditional Thanksgiving decorations and stuff like that. They're picturing this horn with all this fruit coming out of it, and next to it is a big giant turkey, and that's what the Raytheons and the Lockheed Martins and all these groups that you're talking about, they're getting that, but these people that think they're getting the bountiful feast, they're just getting the crumbs, the table scraps.
But if you're a libertarian, how does your thought process go? It goes, oh, the government's bad at doing anything. I don't want the state to exist. But I really think they'd be great at protecting these borders and keeping people out. they'd be really, really good at that. Is that their thinking?
No. It's their preference that there not be foreigners here. And I'm not going to say that they're racist. Some of them most certainly are. I'm not going to say that racism is the main motivation, but I mean, it's maybe it's more a xenophobic. Xenophobia is that fear of foreigners?
Yeah, it is fear of outsiders. So aliens. Can't
all right. So maybe it's more xenophobic than racism. I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a fair number of these alt-Rikers out there that they are just straight up racist. Yeah,
there are. They usually don't call themselves anarchist anymore. They, at that point, have embraced the term or the label alt-right. Like, not alt-right. Yeah. That's hilarious, though. Good job.
That or alt-right. For the autistic screeching.
Autistic
screeching.
Gotcha.
But here's one for you. I think this may have been one of Harry Brown's questions. And I'm kind of bummed that I don't know more about Harry Brown, because he strikes me as a very brilliant and interesting guy. I think he's the one that says, would you give up your favorite government program if you had never had to pay income taxes again?
Boom. Love that. I don't have a favorite government program, so mine's a resounding yes.
Well, he wasn't talking to you.
I know.
I think he was talking to the average John Q. public. Right. And the thing is, there's probably a fair number of people that would
say no.
They would say no.
Yeah. Cops, paycheck, teachers, people who wouldn't have a job if it weren't for their favorite government program.
Well, let's take a step further, and this goes back to some classic fiends. The war on drugs has fueled the war on guns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many of these social conservatives would abandon the war on drugs if it meant that they could keep their guns? Because, quite frankly, the amount of legislation that comes about because of prohibition violence, was it 1926 or 27? There was the first gun control of the 20th century came about as a result of the violence created by prohibition. Right. And it was a minor thing. It was a little nibble around the edge. It was something to do with mail order machine guns or something like that. But the thing is, the violence created by the war on drugs or prohibition back in that time has fueled this violence that has been the justification for taking away their so-called precious Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
So by continuing to support the war on drugs because they think that people that alter their state of consciousness are bad, you know, if you smoke a plant, you're bad. You're only good if you alter your consciousness by drinking some booze, because that's legal. You have permission from the government to do that. And these people, they call themselves freedom-loving patriots, but they place a higher value on obedience to the declarations of idiot politicians than they do on actual freedom.
Right, right. It's because it's a team sport. It's winner take all. And so they pick their team. It's tribalism, basically. We'll have more on that in our final segment here on the Freedom Theme.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends attacking the borders of your comfort zone since 2011. I think that was it. Maybe it's 2010. It's been so long. I'm so old. I've got Lou Fiend here with me. I've also got my little brother, Knight. Say something so they know you're on the mic, Knight.
What up?
What's your boy? It's your boy. All right. Young Knight over there. So, Lou. But what about all these immigrants coming in and they're stealing our wonderful welfare?
Okay, that's a very good one. If the issue is welfare, there's no reason to mention the immigrants because you have plenty of domestic native born citizens that are on welfare. So if your problem really is welfare, then you want to end welfare and not immigration. Next up, I'm pretty sure that illegal immigrants are ineligible for receiving welfare. And yep. The argument
the free,
is that
the free hospitals, they come and they get free health care. They go to the emergency room.
And so do citizens, too. So, yeah, go ahead and end that. Go ahead and reverse Reagan's 1986 law that he signed off on requiring emergency rooms to provide health care to the indigent. Mm-hmm. But the thing about welfare is these people have this idea that the government that can't keep itself from sending money to people who are ineligible to receive it is somehow miraculously going to be able to keep these people from entering the country.
Right.
And, you know, and they're going to do a better job than they keep drugs from entering into prisons. And schools and prisons, there's nothing more government-y than a school or a prison except for a mass grave. Because a mass grave is peak government.
Peak government. There you go. So, where you graduate from the school to prison pipeline is to the mass grave. So what about all these hordes coming here and they're going to vote Democratic and then we'll be less free? So if you really want freedom, you got to be anti-immigrant.
Okay, so the complaint about that is one group has a majority and can impose their will on the other, but because of a demographic shift, somebody else can come in and do to them what they've been doing to everybody else in the previous time. Is that what they're saying? No, the problem here is the root cause of that problem is voting. The notion that your rights and your property, your money are subject to the votes of others is absolutely ridiculous. As a matter of fact, I said this to a status coworker a few years ago. I says, your rights and property aren't subject to my vote. And she says, oh, yes, they are.
Yeah, that's how they feel. They feel like that absolves them. That makes it right. And the non-aggression principle says it does not. You don't get to get together with your friends and decide that as long as y'all voted to come and steal my TV and break into my house, then it's okay. No, that's not okay. All right, and the third one here I have written down, taxation. Okay, so they come here, all these immigrants, and they don't pay any taxes. They are a net drain on us because they come and then they take the welfare, but they're not putting anything into the system, Lou.
Oh, that's quite to the contrary. Anybody that makes any type of purchase is going to pay sales tax, not to mention the excises and tariffs on it. If somebody buys a gallon of gas, then they're paying the gas tax, which go to fund my roads. If they have a home, or if they're renting a home, if they're paying for housing, property tax will be rolled up in the cost of that purchase or rental. It's not like landlords are going to take it on the arm and say, oh, you know what, don't worry, I'm going to pay that out of my own pocket. That's on me. Here, just give me $100 a month. So these people actually are tax victims just the same as everybody else. The real problem comes from when you say taxation is theft, but I want you taxed to pay for this government border. Because I'm an anarchist.
The theft is the root. That's what we need to be striking at. We're striking at the state. We're striking at the theft. If I don't care what the mugger does with my wallet after he steals it. My goal in life isn't to have a really good pitch to muggers after they mug me. My goal is to prevent the theft in the first place. It's to arm myself. It's to make sure I don't get robbed. Or in the case of the state, to minimize the theft as much as possible and talk to other people so that hopefully we can stop the theft outright one day.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen. Yeah, you got it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good one. So I hear the music, but we do have our long fade out here. I also want to say one other thing. Immigrants are what the country was built on. You know, we're not... I'm the son of an immigrant from Iran. Oh, scary. Yeah. But guess what?
Oh, no.
Me, all my brothers, we're all freedom-loving, libertarian anarchists. We all make money. We all contribute to society. We're productive members. we are as American as it gets. We listen to rap music. We wear jeans. We're not mullahs, all right? That's not how it works. When you experience freedom, you love it, and then you embrace it. So that's how America should work, and that's how it does work.
Well, thanks for coming on tonight, guys, and thanks, everybody, for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com and get out to Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, mplfest.org. Round up your friends and family. Take them to...